breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday show. Happy hump day. I was all set to play the patriotic, inspirational USA music. And then last night, I'm not a sports show, but if you're a baseball fan, watching last night, listening last night, this happened.
Full count. Otani ka? Trout ka?
Little of the flavor of the Japanese broadcast Japan over the U.S. and the world. WBC title game last night. Now, I'm going to make a bigger point here in a second, but the star for Japan, who also plays in Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, this is what the guy did. 435, four doubles, home run, and then he's also a pitcher, of course, which is the amazing thing. He's Babe Ruth-esque in his ability to go do things on both sides, offense and defense. 1.86 ERA with 11 strikeouts and 9 2/3 innings. What does this mean? Well, some people think it means nothing. It's just one game. World Baseball Classic, is that such a big deal? Well, I think it does say something about our country in a sport that we created. We excelled at, we dominated at, and here we have a country that now can claim that they're the best. Obviously, one game is one game, and if they played again today, maybe the results would be different. But it does make a point. You know, I say all the time on the show, this is the greatest country on the planet, and I believe that for a lot of different reasons. But in the area of sports, and probably education, the subject of education. Some people would argue healthcare. We are not world leaders. Now, one win by Japan over the United States doesn't mean that they're better at baseball, but it is kind of an amazing story. But there's another piece to this, because let's not forget that a player like Ohtani is playing in the United States for a U.S. baseball team. And that parents across the world often send their kids to U.S. universities. Many of the athletes you see in the Olympics, which is the ultimate sports competition. When I was in Greece recently, I got to travel to the original sites of the Olympics, which looks amazing, by the way, because it's all restored. It's still the place where people want to go to learn, to participate in sports, to excel in sports, to experience what we know to be an incredible quality of life. So there's messages both ways. There's the message that in sports, the rest of the world is catching up, in some ways passing us up. And you don't have to look any farther than the real football, what we know as soccer, to see how dominant the other countries in the world are, because the U.S. men's team has sucked for a lot of years. Now, women's team is dominated, so kudos to the women. I guess the point is, this is still a place where people want to come to. We know that, just looking at the southern border. Opportunity. Quality of life. Place to raise a family. We are not always facing the threat of violence, although we certainly talk about stories that impact that. It's a big deal when a country like Japan beats the United States in the game of baseball, because we created that sport oh so many years ago. But don't forget, Ohtani's playing here. People want to come here. And that message is probably something we should talk about a lot more than we do. I will take a break. After the break, big debates. I'm air quoting big. in the race for the soon-to-be-open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We'll have some audio from that big day for the two candidates. Get your thoughts as well. You can always join us at 855-616-1620. That is the old National Bank talking text line. Email always open as well, 855-616-1620. I gave the phone number, which is just totally dumb. Email steve.scafidi at 2f1d at wtmj.com. I'll get it together. We'll get it together. We'll have a conversation and see where this Supreme Court debate is going. Did it change your mind? Did you hear any of it? Well, today might be the first time most of you have heard from the candidates outside of an ad that chances are pretty good they didn't pay for. All that's coming up after this. Did you watch the debate yesterday? It was hard to find, actually. I know the news stations covered it, local stations. JS, Journal Sentinel, that's our paper, if you don't know, in Milwaukee, covered it. But I wanted to bring you a few clips just so at least we can have a conversation about what we did here in this roughly one-hour debate. The only one we're apparently going to have. The election is less than 2 weeks from today, and people are early voting now, and a lot of us have cast our ballots by mail. So as we, and I'll roll out a couple clips here, and then we'll kind of have a conversation about it. I made this point yesterday, and I'm going to reinforce it today. I know there's a lot of energy among some people about this race. I don't get the sense, though, that this has reached, like, the excitement I've seen in other races, U.S. Senate, for example. And obviously, it's not going to reach the level of presidential or gubernatorial. You know, the Tim Michaels, Tony Evers election. So I think we have this important race. I'm not going to call it the most important election in our lifetime because I think that's overused, overstated, overdone. But the makeup of the court matters. And I'm going to play a couple clips just kind of referencing where these candidates are on things like crime, district maps, gerrymandering. So we'll start with crime, a little bit from yesterday's debate.
Your thought process in making those sentences?
Every single case, you look at the serious nature of the crime, the need to protect the public, and the character of the defendant. That is what case law tells you to look at. That is what I evaluate in each and every case.
Justice Kelly, your response?
There's a case in a man raped a 15-year-old. Came to you for sentencing, you said no prison time at all because COVID. There's no way that COVID provides a get-out-of-jail-free card for a man who raped a woman. Another man sexually assaulted a 13-year-old child, videoed himself doing it, posted it to Facebook where it will live forever. Came to you for sentencing, you said no prison time.
That's time. Time is up. Judge Protase, would you like rebuttal time?
I can tell you that sentences take hours, sometimes half a day, sometimes a day. There is no way I would have said in any case you're not going to prison. COVID, that's an outright lie. I can tell you each and every case where I have sentenced someone, I have evaluated all of the pertinent factors very, very carefully. I'll also tell you in sexual assault cases, those are challenging cases. Those victims frequently don't want to come to court. There are frequent recantations. A sophisticated area of law to work in as a judge.
Now, I thought both candidates made some pretty fair points. I understand what Kelly's doing there because I talk a lot about crime, probably not as much as Jeff does in the afternoon, but I know that this is something that is on the public's mind, especially those of us living or working or playing in Milwaukee. So those are fair points. Sentencing. Now, if you file the responsibilities of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Sentencing typically doesn't fall into their jurisdiction or lap. So, you know, a little bit of a reach. But I think it's an important point because certainly it's on the minds of voters. And if you trust internal polling, Kelly still has some work to do in closing the gap between himself and Judge Protasewicz. Now, on her side, if it was that easy, we would have probably done this. Now, I am somebody who has talked about this issue. I do think we need to make it really clear for judges and district attorneys in this state that the get-out-of-jail-free card or the slap on the wrist versus you're going to be sitting for a little bit in detention, I think most voters in Wisconsin of any political stripe or independence have pretty much said loudly and clearly, we need to be a little tougher in our sentencing. We're going to be asked that question, of course, on the ballot that you will be filling out or have filled out before the April 4th election. So that's certainly on people's minds. One of the other big ones was on the subject of maps, where those lines are drawn, where the districts fall, and the impact of those maps on the makeup of the Wisconsin State Legislature.
That methodology is totally unfair. We are a battleground state. We have very, very close statewide elections. Yet you look at our state assembly, you look at our state senate, two-thirds of the seats are red. You look at Congress, you know, we have 8 seats, 6 are red, 2 are blue, in a battleground state. So we know something's wrong. We know that this least change rule certainly inhibits people's ability to cast a vote and a vote that counts. We are a representative democracy. Just that, a representative democracy. Everybody's vote should count. And with this least change rule, everybody's vote is not counting. I think it's unfortunate that my opponent sanctions this, quite frankly. Unfortunate.
All right, so this is the picture that you want to see. She just told you that she's going to steal the legislative authority and use that in the courts. Fairness of the maps is a political question. Political questions belong in the legislature. We all know that since grade school with Schoolhouse Rock. But she just told you she's going to take that authority that does not belong to her, that the people of Wisconsin did not give to the judiciary, and she's going to use that to usurp the role of the legislature.
Now, again, this is one of those issues that both candidates potentially could be right on. Are the maps fair? Are the maps fair in Illinois? Are the maps fair in the other political direction in Wisconsin? Probably not. And least change is an argument that has been used over and over again because you don't want to disrupt districts to the point where voters are confused or constantly changed, because that's not good for the election process either, or representation. But, and this is something that I asked Daniel Kelly about a couple times, maybe all 3 times he was on my show in the last couple months. If it was that easy, legislature makes the rules and everybody follows them, we wouldn't have any need for Supreme Courts. Of course there's interpretation. Of course a highest court in a state or a country has to weigh in on these things. And frankly, a national conversation about how we draw the lines would be healthy, but we're not going to see that because states still have that power. And states that have tried to address it have either seen hyperpartisan take hold and say, not happening here, or they've gone to a different way of picking judges that isn't represented by pure partisanship. And the interesting thing, of course, about Wisconsin, these are supposed to be nonpartisan races. And, of course, they're not. Record spending by both sides in this race, $20-plus million in a Supreme Court race. One more before we get to break. This is kind of an overview by Judge Janet on a couple issues, and then we'll have time in the next half hour to have a conversation about what you heard.
Planned Parenthood and Emily's List have endorsed this race, and they clearly expect, if elected, you would vote to overturn the law. Why would they be spending so much money on your behalf unless they expect you to swipe down that ban if elected?
First of all, I would say this. I have been very clear about my values to the electorate because I think the electorate deserves to know what a person's values are. Rather than hiding them, I think the electorate deserves to know. I've also been very clear that any decision that I render will be made based solely on the law and the Constitution. I have told everyone I am making no promises to you. No promises. Emily's List has endorsed me. Planned Parenthood has endorsed me. I'm not aware of any campaign contribution from either of those entities. But I can tell you that if my opponent is elected, I can tell you with 100% certainty that 1849 abortion ban will stay on the books. I can tell you that. Take a look at Wisconsin Right to Life's website. There's a picture of him as their endorsed candidate with the language that he has pledged to uphold their values.
Some flavor of the debates that took place yesterday. Most of you had probably not heard most of that. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. Your thoughts. We'll take a break. We'll get some news at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll discuss what we heard, what my takeaway is, but more importantly, what your takeaway is as we approach now less than 2 weeks before what some people call the most important election in their lifetime, a phrase that we've heard, frankly, in my opinion, too often. Before the break, we played some clips from the big debates, air quoting debates, not really debates, more of a press conference. And we were talking earlier with Vince and Eric. I was talking earlier with Vince and Eric about, you know, yeah, we used to like these things because it's really where you kind of saw the candidates and you understood their just their overall sense of what they were about. And maybe sometimes you got a little insight into their personalities. That's gone. These are press conferences. Moderated, yeah. I thought it was ridiculous. And I know you can find it in other places, but these debates shouldn't be done in the afternoons. It should be done in the evenings when you have most people watching. It should be on all the major television stations. If you're going to have one, that's certainly the case. Now, somebody said in the break, I got a lot of texts in this. Love to have you on the phone as well. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. Well, who's your choice? And I've said over and over again, I don't care who you vote for. I give you access to the candidates that you're not going to hear. And that is both sides, in this case, what most people would say is a liberal candidate and what most people say is a conservative candidate. My vote shouldn't dictate your votes. And I always tell people one of the reasons I do this is I think you need to hear in their own words. That's why I bring candidates and elected officials on from both sides, because I want to hear what their actual ideas are, what their thoughts are on the position they're running for or the position they're in. That's value to me, something, by the way, that's unique to the show. If you think we need a more conservative lean, then you have a pretty solid candidate in Daniel Kelly. If you think that the state's a mess and that the cases that will soon come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court are an avenue to properly, this is speaking from liberals' point of view, which I'm not a liberal, so I'm paraphrasing. I guess that's not the right word, but you get what I'm saying. That you have a chance to rule in ways that more accurately reflect the will of the voters and the Constitution. State's Constitution. That's it. You listen and you make a decision. I am not of the mind that most people don't have a clue who they're going to vote for. There's not a great undecided here on whatever issue you're talking about. So when you're talking about crime, there is, as I said earlier, a growing concern that we're letting people off the hook. I know Jeff talks about this a lot on his program. Stiffer penalties. Do the crime, do the time. I'm in that camp. So it is fair to ask our judges, especially county judges, local judges, what are you going to do about it? You're letting people off with some pretty serious consequences, i.e. the Waukesha Parade tragedy. That's a fair question to ask. It's also not a leap to say that the maps in Wisconsin certainly skew towards Republican representation in the legislature. Otherwise, if you don't recognize that, what planet are you living on? Just like in Illinois, it's skewed the other way to favor Democrats. That's the ugliness of gerrymandering. Some states do it one way, some states do it the other way, and some states have figured out a different way, and it may be, in some cases, more representative. Those are real conversations that people are going to have about their decision on who they vote for. But that's your decision. And to base your decision on what a talking head says, just my opinion, doesn't make a lot of sense. Diane says on the old National Bank talking text line, won't change my vote, but still like to hear them discuss live. I want to hear their views out of their mouths instead of just an ad. Yeah, that's the value. But a real debate would have more back and forth. Points, counterpoints. We don't have that. And frankly, and I've said this in a broader conversation about these fake debates, it's more about the moderators than the actual candidates. Sorry if you don't want to hear that, but that's what it is. Getting your minutes of fame asking a question of a presidential candidate, which, frankly, you may think you're getting your fame. I don't care about that, and neither should anybody else. Steve, why are you making the liberals' points? I'm playing their words. This is what they are saying. Words matter. Listen better. Be smarter. If you think that the election on April 4th and your decision to vote is the most important election of your lifetime, you be you. I don't necessarily think that's the case. And the other thing I remind people about, justices. I don't have to look any further than the Brian Hagedorn example, Justice Brian Hagedorn. It can surprise you sometimes. That's actually, in my world, the one that I live in, which I think is the real world, not a politically partisan world. That's what I want from my judges. To strictly rule by political ideology, we could put robots in there and do that. To pretend there's not interpretation in the rulings is silly and stupid. Should you legislate from the court? No. But let's not pretend that the rules and the legislation and the things that come before the court are so ironclad that there is no room for interpretation. What world are you living on? It's not the real world. More from the old National Bank Talk and Text line. Steve, in Michigan, they went to a fair electoral map process and the control flipped from Republican to Democrat. I don't care which way it flips. And perhaps that's the right way, perhaps it's not. Iowa has a similar model, I understand. I just want people to feel, voters to feel like they're being represented. I've argued about this point for the at least as long as I was a mayor and certainly the 6 years post my tenure as mayor. We have a problem in this state, and it's not unique to this state. We see it in Florida, Arizona, other states, Pennsylvania. Basically everywhere now, where people treat politics as a sport. Their only concern is winning a race or winning control, not what they do. Never consideration of what the other side thinks, even when they have a better idea than your side. That's out the window because loud, abrasive, admittedly popular, talking heads, squawking heads, whatever term you want to use, have monopolized the political conversation. And unfortunately, people blindly follow their lead. Can't say it any better than that. It's what it is. And the reason I don't do that is because I have more faith in the voter than they do. To make decisions based on what they actually think. Give you a case in point. We are nowhere closer to the legalization of medicinal marijuana than we were 20 years ago. Makes no sense, but a few legislators are controlling that debate. When most of us know in this state, a state, by the way, that handed $36.5 million or something like that to the state of Illinois for marijuana purchases, $36.5 million. I bet some local governments would like some of that cash. A few individuals in the legislature control that conversation, even though most Wisconsin voters overwhelmingly support not only medicinal, but recreational. It's not even close. It's 3 out of 4, 75%, and maybe higher than that. So don't tell me they're not playing a political game here, because we are. 855-616-1620. You should get fired up about this race, but for the reasons you think are important. More after this. Texter made a great point on the old National Bank talking text on 855-616-1620. That $36 million is just a Wisconsin piece of that. They made nearly $500 million in tax revenue from $1.5 billion in recreational marijuana sales. $500 million. Illinois. Set that aside. That's just one issue that I pointed to that illustrates the divide between the legislature controlled by Republicans, and where Wisconsin voters are at. And, you know, that does play into our conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because I have been told over and over again in emails, texts, voicemails from women, both conservative women and liberal women, that the reason for their vote this year will be that issue, abortion slash women's rights. That is something that if my, putting my fortune telling hat on, is something that will drive more voters to Judge Protasiewicz than Daniel Kelly. Does that mean that Daniel Kelly can't win? Absolutely not. He could surprise and shock everybody. Because I'm also confident that there's enough conservatives that are fired up about the issues like we just talked about, abortion, women's rights, health care, where the maps are, fair maps, that they will also turn out. And as my pundits, my strategist friends, Bill McCosha and Joe Zepecki, points out all the time, turnout, turnout, turnout. That is going to be the key factor. What will happen? Who votes early? Who are they voting for? And who shows up on Election Day, April 4th? That's going to be the decider. We saw a massive turnout in the primary, in primary terms. Will we see that same enthusiasm, support, and desire to vote in the general? We're going to find out. And if you believe the internal polling, the race is drawing closer, which is no surprise whatsoever in a state like Wisconsin. Divided governments, divided populace. We don't agree. Which, by the way, is healthy. Because as I'm also reminded on the old National Bank talk and text line, this notion that households are united in their politics is crazy. There are liberals living with conservatives. Imagine that, dogs and cats living together in the same house. Oh yeah, that's a reality too. So don't be shocked in how Wisconsin votes on any of these things. And I made this point with the gubernatorial race when I correctly predicted that both Evers and Johnson would win. Voters in Wisconsin don't necessarily like change, which might be good news for Daniel Kelly. We like things status quo. Now, is that changing? Yeah, perhaps. Maybe. But we're still the last state in the Midwest not to legalize medicinal marijuana or recreational marijuana. That's an example of not changing, even though, as I said, most voters would probably want that to change. They like divided government. I made this point before. They didn't want to see Republicans, conservatives controlling everything, which would be the governor's office, the legislature, both the Assembly and Senate, and the Supreme Court with conservative justices. They said, no, not going to do it. Don't want it. That was the biggest reason why I said Tony Evers would probably win, and he did win. And I'll remind you again, when you listen to any program, radio or TV, you want to get good value for your listen, good content? Listen for this distinction. Whoever it is, man or woman, left or right, MSNBC or Fox, are they giving you information that you want to hear, or are they giving you information that you need to hear? The want stuff is cheerleading and silliness. And unfortunately, for the last 3 or 4 decades, that's been the conversation. And I say, not good enough. Not going to do it. Don't want it. Definitely not going to do it on this show. Thanks for finding us on this Wednesday morning. Happy hump day. Appreciate all the long-distance listeners as well. And I do read a lot of the texts. I don't get them all on the air because there's too many. But I appreciate tuning in from all over the country. Always appreciate that. You can find us on our podcast page. You guys are blowing up our page. Appreciate that. Available at WTMG.com. All the shows, entirety of the shows, all the interviews. Usually separate those out. And some of the special features like a Steve Ruled the World or some of the other ones. All of available at WTMG.com or wherever you get our podcasts. Apple, Spotify, all good. One quick point. It is amazing that we're talking about a Supreme Court race in a partisan fashion because it's supposed to be a nonpartisan race, but we know that's not the reality anymore. I mean, that ship has sailed, that horse has left the barn, as they say. 262, Old National Bank talking text line. My mom was a lib. Dad's a conservative. Made for interesting dinner table conversation. All three sisters are libs, and the one son, me, a conservative. That's the reality in Wisconsin and everywhere. My wife leans left, I lean right. Although my wife was a big Paul Ryan supporter, so take that for what it's worth. And my daughters are one of each. That's America, folks. That's the real world. This notion that one group, one party, one ideology is going to dominate everything has led us to bad governments, bad leadership. So thanks for that text. Sam, loyal listener, fan of the show, you keep ignoring that Evers relies on Madison, Milwaukee, like Pritzker relies on Chicago and the Burbs. That's where they live. What do you want me to do about it? It's not breaking news that a lot of liberals live in Madison. My goodness. The interesting thing, though, that I think conservatives, Republicans have to be concerned about is they're voting consistently and solidly one way. And if it's a war of numbers, you will lose that war unless, and this is the part that requires putting your thinking cap on, you start to understand that the my way or the highway, which some, this is getting to be a smaller and smaller number every day, conservatives absolutely will not listen to anybody. That era is over, folks, or soon will be. It doesn't mean that conservative ideas are bad. I will defend most of them. It just means this idea of my way or the highway, they're idiots, we're geniuses, has to end at some point. Thanks for the great text. We'll switch gears after the news, which is next on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Bringing it to you on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. It's actually, I wasn't going to mention this, but I got to mention it because it's a cool thing. World Down Syndrome Day. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about this. Some people call it a disability. I don't. I think it's a challenge for parents and the individuals who have Down syndrome. It's basically just an extra chromosome. That's the distinguisher. And for those parents of kids who have Down syndrome, the reality is what you put in is what you get out. And to celebrate that difference, that extra chromosome, is actually, I think, the magic of it. And I don't have to look any further than my friend John Jagler, current state senator in Wisconsin, and his lovely daughter Gracie, who's now a businesswoman. Her Doggy Delights. Incredible story. The only limits we have are the ones we put on ourselves. Celebrate differences. And, you know, the history of the world is not a happy one. It's cruel. And people like this were often diminished, disposed of, disregarded, abused. And that's happily not the case anymore. And instead of dwelling on the negative, World Down Syndrome Day celebrates the positive. And you might ask, how often does this happen? One out of every 800 babies born has Down syndrome. So not that unusual. It just occurs naturally, no known cause, right? It could be intellectual challenges, physical disabilities, other medical issues. But what you put in is what you get out, and what you usually end up with is a great child and a great adult. And there's all kinds of examples of that. So what I choose to focus on is the positive, the great stories, like Gracie, like others. I have friends who have kids with Down syndrome. And it's never about what they can't do. It's what they can do. And like anything else in this hyper-partisan negative world some people want to live in, not me, you can look at this in a lot of different ways, most of them not positive. I choose to ignore that. Are there costs associated with having a child or an adult with Down syndrome? Sure. Challenge usually means higher cost. And hopefully in the state of Wisconsin or where you live, your states, your government is making that easier for parents. and for adults with Down syndrome so they can have completely normal lives. Although, looking at those of us without Down syndrome, how normal is it, really? In the era of crazy politics and people defending insanity because they benefited from politically. So, I celebrate the good. And the fact that we need a day, I guess, points there's still work to do, but there's some great stories out there. So all of you who are facing that reality or live that reality, there's a great number of opportunities that you can take advantage of, and I encourage you to do that. So a little mention of World Down Syndrome Day. Some great people that I've met that have Down syndrome, and they're amazing people. And maybe that extra chromosome has made them extra cool. And another thing I noticed, I don't see a lot of negativity from those folks. Maybe that extra chromosome has knocked the negativity right out of them. How about that? That's a different way of looking at it. All right. I spent some time last week post-Oscars talking about some of the stories related to the thing and some of the crazy stuff that happens. We certainly spent some time on the Chris Rock Netflix special where he finally responds to the slap heard round the world. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time just talking about another story coming out of the Oscars that some people want to use the racism question again in a situation where I don't think it applies. And when I talk about these stories, I'm not implying or saying that racism doesn't exist. It does, trust me. Happens every day. People are intently trying to hunt down people who look differently, pray differently, do anything differently, to attack them, to diminish them, to move them out of the political debate, all of that. And I'm certainly not defending that. I think that's horrific. But there are also times when I think these arguments go too far. What am I talking about? We had the 95th Annual Academy Awards a couple Sundays ago. And there was a performance and a dance sequence from an Indian movie. The song was, and if I'm not saying this correctly, I apologize. Natu Natu or Natu Natu came from the international film RRR, which was the first from the Indian movie to win Best Original Song. All well and good. But the dance sequence, the dance performance, has now been called by some people racist. A quote from one of the critics, some people say, just be happy with what we got. And that's part of the problem, this idea of just accepting the scraps that are thrown to you. Just be happy the Indian song was nominated and won. Don't be mad about the overwhelming racism that appeared in the performance. What are they talking about? Well, apparently the anger comes from the fact there weren't South Asian performers in the dance group. And I'm always amazed at the titles that people give themselves. One of the people quoted in this piece is a cultural strategist. Talk about carving out a niche. Hina Patel said this, it's just so unfortunate that this piece has now marred what really would have been a flawless execution of an evening with regards to diversity and equity. If you don't find people right away, it's on you to try harder if it's a priority. They used dancers of all races, not necessarily South Asian dancers. Now, the creators of the song and the movie were asked about this. They were asked about, including the film's two lead actors, to perform the actual dancing of that number. Well, the actors, who were South Asian, said they did not feel comfortable with the rehearsal schedule required for the dance performance. So because their refusal led to a performance, which is most people thought was outstanding, but not South Asian enough. And again, the producers, choreographers, leads, and singers of the movie were all approached and consulted in the decision-making of and for the performance. But yet, here now we have critics of that performance saying it was uncomfortable to not have South Asian performers. There was 50 dancers in this performance. Mostly Caucasian, but 20 supporting dancers that were diverse and from different backgrounds. And this is what I've been talking about. There is legitimate concerns about racism, and then there's this. The question was asked of the filmmakers, could we do this? Could we, the actual performers in the movie who danced in the movie, participate? They said no. And that simple act of saying no has now led to a charge of racism, because the makeup of the dance team, 50 strong, wasn't South Asian enough. And to that question, and to that complaint, I should say, when is enough enough? Other than just complain about everything. Isn't it, again, it's positive versus negative. The portrayal of something as important in some people's lives, not mine, of the Academy Awards, and the diversity shown by the people and the films that are represented there, that's not good enough. Now we have to have a head count, essentially. How many South Asians were in that dance team? How many blacks were in that dance team? How many whatevers were in that dance team? That's how we're going to do this? That's how we're going to judge people's racism or lack of racism? And the answer to that question is no. Sometimes it's okay to say no. Here's one of them. Listen, always appropriate to listen. Acknowledge what the person said and said, you know what? No, it's not racist. The very idea that we would feature a dance in a foreign film, international film, is foreign on the list of things you can't say anymore? Probably. International film that features South Asian performers that we asked to participate and they said no, and then you label us racist? Heck no. 855-616-1620. The charge of racism is going too far. It's overused, overdone, and has to stop. And sometimes the answer is to just say no. Now, that didn't work too well for drugs. But on this one, I think it just might. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line. You can email me at steve.scafidi2s1d at wtmj.com. Yeah, I've said that a few times. I love my listeners, fans of the show. Lauren here. Did the equity people judge Hamilton? I was just going to make that point. I actually wrote it in my show notes. Using that logic, should our founding fathers, should Caucasian Americans be upset that the creators of Hamilton, producers of those plays, performances, didn't have enough white actors? How come the only thing that matters is when it's a minority presentation? Then you got to have fat actors to play fat roles. You have to have gay actors play gay roles, even though most performances aren't that. And that would also, by the way, limit people. Right? If you're gay and you can only play gay roles, not much of a wide berth of opportunity to act, right? And many brilliant performances of gay actors who have done straight roles, some of those including Academy Award winners. The silliness of all of this is, if we're going to have real conversations about racism, let's have real conversations, not this stuff. You talk about a group, the Academy, Hollywood, who has led to all of this nonsense, all this excess conversation, people defending Will Smith. Really? Should have went to jail for a night. Assault somebody on the stage, and he's the victim now? Because somebody said something bad about him, a comedian said something bad about him, he's a victim? A harmless joke? We can get pissed off, angry, worked up about all these things every day. But what it does is it dumbs down the conversation. It makes us stupider. The brilliance of Hamilton is you could do it with a cast that looks nothing like the Founding Fathers. That's unique and funny and brilliant. Did all of us white people get worked up about it? I don't think so. We went to the show in record numbers. We enjoyed the performance. That's the magic. So you're going to get all worked up about a quota system at a performance at the Academy Awards when the producers of the film were actually asked to participate, and they said no. Come on. From the Old National Bank talking text line. I'm not going to read that because it's inappropriate, but it was funny. Steve, while I'm out and about, I don't see any racism. I hear this from just about everyone. I also witnessed many folks of various races getting along. When do we tune out the Democrats? You made a political point there, but when do we tune out the idiots, really? Just because somebody writes something down, does a column, does a op-ed piece, does a editorial on TV, doesn't mean they're right, and doesn't mean, more importantly, they have to be listened to. We got to get out of the business of just hearing things and saying, oh my God, yes, we have to act on that immediately. Sometimes careful consideration, thoughtful debates, just saying no, is the right answer. Now, Texas, so why are you getting so worked up about this? Because I'm sick of the nonsense. I can't have real conversations because there's so much noise and nonsense shooting out of microphones across this country every day. And I've had enough of it. It's one of my newest mission statements, to point out the absurdity. And I get, Texter, that people make a lot of money doing that. Trust me, I get it. But I would rather do the right thing. Now, I have my own biases. We all do. I have my own point of views. I'm paid to be a radio talk show host. I'm going to have those points of view. But on this one, I see it clearly. 855-616-1620. This is not racism, folks. This is an attempt to make an innocent performance at an awards show a racist act. The answer to the question, if that's what you're asking, is it racist, is absolutely no. News is coming up at the bottom of the hour with Eric Bilstead. Before we get to that, Sue from Greendale wants to jump on the line. Hi, Sue. Happy Wednesday. Sue. No, Sue. All right, but you wanted to talk about Down Syndrome Day, which I mentioned at the top of the FR. So if you're on the line and you can't hear me, call back. We'll try to reconnect you before the bottom. After the break for news here, I'm going to do a piece on what is becoming a growing trend across the country, and it's these basic income payments that cities like Los Angeles, a lot of California cities. A couple of places in Illinois, other states are doing to give people no questions asked, basically. A check. No strings. Here's a check for $500. Here's a check for $1,500. And I have some thoughts on what that means for employment, what that means for budgeting, the impact on all of us going forward, because there's a growing sense, I think from both sides, that this desire to just hand things out has significant impact on some of the major questions that we have when it comes to how smoothly we run as a country, how well we get along. All right, I think let's get Sue in real quick. Hey, Sue, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good. Do you hear me?
I hear you fine. Yeah, you said you wanted to make a comment, so I wanted to squeeze you in before the news.
I do. I'm actually from New Berlin. I have a son with Down syndrome who's 24.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's his name?
The greatest thing.
What's his name?
Michael.
Michael.
Michael?
Mm-hmm. Tell me about him.
And he does everything. He works at Culver's. He has a wonderful job. Everyone in New Berlin knows him, I swear. He's so popular. He can read, he writes, he does everything, he works.
Because he's a normal kid. He's a good kid. That's why it shouldn't be surprising to
yes.
people, Sue.
I know, and I thank you so much for shouting out to the Down syndrome people. Thank you so much. You are wonderful, and they should be celebrated, and they are better people than we are.
They are. And Sue, I want to thank you for calling and listening to the show, but Sue, you know it better than we all do. This isn't a negative. It's a positive. And thanks for the call, Sue. They enrich our lives. Are there challenges? Yeah. Who doesn't have challenges? Down syndrome or not? Are you kidding me? My goodness. We can certainly focus on the negative, but today and all days, we should focus on the positive. Tremendous lives, tremendous stories, tremendous, and I'm not usually that generous to parents, tremendous parenting involved in making those success stories. So thanks to Sue for taking the call, time to call twice. That is a fun call to take, and we'll remember that as we celebrate World Down Syndrome Day. One of the texters said, should be Up Syndrome Day because it's a positive. Absolutely. It's how you look at it, how you deal with it, how you move forward. That's what matters. Don't forget, tomorrow, 11:08, Thursday's 11:08, it's a little something we call That's What Steve Said. And thanks to the Mind Chef restaurant, the winner of That's What Steve Said, can say $30 gift card for their Hartford, downtown Hartford location. And Thursdays, by the way, buy one pizza, get a second pizza free. Everybody I talk to who's ever had their pizza, I haven't had it yet, but I'm going to soon, said it's amazingly awesome. That's what they said. I would say just delicious, but that's what they said. So thanks to the Mind Chef for helping us out on Thursday. You should go check it out. Locally, family-owned, most affordable restaurants for over 46 years. Here's when you know you got a good restaurant. When you've been in business for over, 20 years is a milestone. 46 years! You hear John McCure talking about it all the time. One of his two favorite restaurants. I will be there soon. I've literally talked to the owner and said, I will be out there. I'm going to get out there and try the pizza. Probably have to be on a Thursday, but not necessarily because you have pizza anytime. They have specials every day. Mineshaft. So tomorrow, one lucky contestant for That's What Steve Said is going to win a $30 gift card at the Mineshaft restaurant in beautiful downtown Hartford. I'm in a good mood today. I am definitely worked up about things that I'm talking about, but I think that's good. So much of, I just had this conversation with somebody away from the show about the mindset of doing a radio show. And there's a lot of moving pieces. It's like trends in culture, things that happen to you, personal stories and all this stuff. And I try to weave some of that in, although I get the angry text when it's too much about me. I get it. Nobody wants to hear just about me. And that's probably not the way you should do a show anyway. But yet people make a lot of money doing it. But that enthusiasm, that excitement, if it ever goes away, you shouldn't do this job. So whether I'm worked up in a negative way or worked up in a positive way, hopefully that shows. So thanks for tuning in. All right. I mentioned this story before the news break with Eric there. There's a growing trend, speaking of cultural trends, in this case, what local governments do, city governments do, for the most part, in providing funds to residents with no strings. Los Angeles, this is from the Los Angeles Times, late last year, December 2022, started a new program, Los Angeles County. They call it Universal Basic Income, $1,000 monthly payments to a select group of young adults. The number was 18 to 24. 3-year guaranteed income, $1,000 a month. Now, anybody who's lived in California like I have, that's not a lot of money, but it's something. It's not insignificant, but it's not going to pay the rents. They used a program that they already had in place called GROW, General Relief Opportunities for Work, which does employment services, training services for young adults who have problems finding work, including probably the biggest problem, not having a home to go home to, having to live on the streets or live in your car, that problem. And the idea of this has caught on in other places. So I was digging into this last night. Other areas of California, even in Chicago, it goes back a year, but in October of 2021, Chicago passed a guaranteed income program with money, no surprise, from the American Rescue Plan, pandemic fund, basically. 1-year pilot program, $500 monthly cash payments to 5,000 low-income Chicagoans. And there's dozens of U.S. cities that are now doing this. And I guess my thought is this. In the right circumstances, sure. Helping hand, yeah, I get it. I will also say that one of the things that I don't like is the fact that we have tremendous private support of individuals who need help. There's so many agencies, so many organizations doing great work, right? On all levels. From the Hunger Task Force to groups and organizations that help people with physical challenges, mental challenges. They're all available. There's programs from the U.S. governments, disability programs that are all in place. Housing assistance. Cell phones, in some cases. Wi-Fi access. There's a lot being done. Some by the government, some by the private sector. So like, it's not like there's nothing being done. I have a bigger question, though, beyond those specifics. We have a problem with jobs. We have a low unemployment rate. But at the same time, we have a very low record unemployment rate. We have a lot of unfilled jobs, many of them entry level. And I'll point to this answer from cities like Los Angeles and Chicago and others, dozens of cities across the country that are doing similar things. As an example of, I don't think you thought it through all the way. I don't think you did your homework. Couldn't a local government in cities large and small have asked your employers, hey, we got a group of people, 18 to 24 in the case of Los Angeles, who could actually use a helping hand. Would you hire them in an entry-level position? And if you do, and if they stick, we would then provide assistance to them in some small fashion, $500 a month, whatever it is. But we make that connection between a real need, and I don't care where you work or who you work for, there's not an industry that's untouched by this, including the media, by the fact that there's less and less people looking to get out there and work. And I'm not going to make a cultural or a generational complaints, but there seems to be a difference. Let's just leave it at that. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. Like a lot of ideas, they're not thought through all the way. I'll give you another example quick before we go to break. This idea of absolving student loan debts. Billions and billions of dollars. When the real answer, if they would have worked through the problem, done the math, is that maybe we take a look at how we construct these loans, what the interest rates are, how they're managed, how in some cases they're predatory. But all that goes to the wayside. Let's just absolve all student loan debt for this one group of people right now, and then everybody before and after, you're on your own. That's the stupidity of the overreach. That's the problem I have with these basic income ideas. Tie it to something real. I gave an example. Jobs, available jobs, entry level. And when I was digging through these stories, some of these entry level jobs pay $19 an hour now. Are you kidding me? My first job was $1.25 bagging groceries. I understand that's a long time ago. But to be honest, back then, I didn't even look what the pay was. I just wanted to work. You got to do the math. You got to think through these things. That's the abandonment of logic and common sense. Just handing out checks instead of matching that help, assistance, check with real life problems that employers and all of us are facing. What do you think? 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Quick break. All right, every day on the show, I give something away. Sometimes twice. Get ready to rock as Dave Mason and the Outlaws come to town May 18th. Pabst Theater in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Caller number 7, lucky number 7, to 855-616-1620 will win a pair of tickets to see said artists, Dave Mason, He of We Just Disagree fame, Alone Together, and the Outlaws. Man, they've had a tremendous, some ups and downs in their career, but tremendous, tremendous band. One of the most loved bands of their genre. Call number 7-855-616-1161, the old National Bank Talking Text Line. We'll see them live 7:30 p.m. May 18th at the gorgeous Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. Nothing lights up the phone lines like a Dave Mason giveaway. All right, and the Outlaws. To the text line we go. Not a lot of callers today. People are texting. Maniac texters. In a good way. But we're always willing to talk on this show. 855-616-1620. 608. Careful, Steve. The student loan bill tackled several issues in addition to the $10,000 loan forgiveness. Yeah, there are some other pieces to that. My point was, instead of a one-time benefit to some people who have debts, because it didn't affect anybody who had previous debt that paid it off, or parents that paid their kids' bill, or individuals who paid their own student loan bills like I did, or any future ones, you're picking one group of people right now to benefit. And my point that I was trying to make is, with all these programs, I mean, let's be honest. If I had a student loan debt of $50,000 and somebody said, hey, it's absolved, would I jump up and down? You bet I would. But I also understand that that's at a cost to somebody. Nothing's free. Someone has to pay for that. Marty. Good morning, all. Please contrast this government giveaway to what was given to insurance company. I am not sure what you're saying, Marty. You might want to spell it out a little clearer. Steve, you're right with your comments on paying individuals if they're working. Why does this happen? Why does it? I don't know. Maybe a better question is, why does this not happen? And I will put it this way, as somebody who's been in government, the biggest failure of small government, local governments, even state governments, is to properly assess the relationship between public and private. Because as a mayor, I did a lot of that. And I was generally lauded for it. Not always, because there's always critics, trust me. Any political position, you're always going to have critics. But understanding that business community organizations can help you accomplish some of the goals of a city, especially in ever-challenging, more challenging budget conditions. Because again, the dirty little secret about Act 10 is a lot of us supported it, but we also understood over time it's not sustainable. It needs to be reworked, revisited. Because you can't keep shrinking the pie for communities that aren't growing, that can't grow in some cases. They're landlocked. They don't have areas for development, which is the only way you can really increase your tax levy now. But all the costs of governments keep going up. That's the dirty little secret that some people don't want to tell you. I'm telling you that. But understanding the public-private link is the best way to maximize your investment. So if your investment, in the case of a basic income, is $500 a month, $1,000 a month, think about it for a second. If you're an 18 to 24-year-old in the Chicago example, or maybe it's the L.A. example, and you are out of work, in some cases with no place to live, and you can match those individuals with a company. We know this. You've seen, wherever you go, you've seen the help wanted signs. Everywhere, every business. I see signs on manufacturing facilities that in their heyday would never advertise job openings because they didn't have any. They always had people wanting to work there. And now they don't. Take it to the public safety community. They get 500 people applying for a police officer job or a firefighter job. Now they have to recruit. And I don't want to make it a lazy conversation, but there is a shift in mentality and mindset when it comes to working. And I'll point to something I said yesterday, because I think this is a key one that people forget. This notion that 26-year-olds need to be on their parents' insurance is part of this problem. Once you did that, you encouraged people to stay at home, to not fend for themselves. Look, I moved out when I was 17 and a half, 18 years old. I wanted the freedom. I had a full-time job. I worked and went to school. Well, that's not everybody's reality, but it was mine. Not understanding that is part of this problem. Should we give people a helping hand? Absolutely. But tie it to something real, concrete. Getting a job, it may not be a job for life. Who has that now? I've had three great jobs in my life. The story's changed, folks. You don't work at one company generally for your entire career anymore. And if you do, that's an outlier, not the norm. Linking handouts of dollars, $500, $1,000, some cases more than that, with no strings is not a recipe for success, in my opinion. That's just me. What say you? 855-616-1620. Got a lot of texts. Calls are welcome as well. Join us in the conversation right here on WTMJ. We'll wind up the hour with some texts from the old National Bank Talk and Text Line. Those basic income payments should be paid only to those working full-time and yet still unable to survive because of very high local cost of living. Yeah, I get that. Merely handing out to everyone because of where they are, where they live, is extremely wasteful of taxpayer money and very counterproductive for encouraging people to work. Yeah, that was my point. We need to link. We need to have layers to this stuff. Yeah, can cities hand out money? Sure, they've been doing it across the country, dozens of cities. And some of these things might actually contribute to some improvement of the quality of life for these individuals. But at the same time, we have an employment problem. Not unemployment, we have a low unemployment number. We can't get people to fill basic entry-level jobs. So simply handing it out versus saying, look, here's an employer, they will hire you, we will actually help you with your rents or whatever it is. We can make that work. That's kind of upselling what is, I think, kind of a basic idea. You call it basic income, but let's make it more than that. Let's make it life-changing. Let's make it actually work in the real world for the people who are having trouble filling jobs. Thanks to all the great texters. All right, start tuning up the questions. We're going to spend the 11 o'clock hour. Ask Steve anything, any question, fair game, politics, sports, culture, entertainment, jobs, whatever it is. You ask the questions. I do my best to answer. 855-616-1620. That's next after the news.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
All right, welcome to the 11 o'clock hour on this Wednesday, hump day edition. I think I'm going to go to Wolski's tonight. I haven't been there in a long time. I think tonight's the night. Irregardless of that fact, this hour, ask Steve anything. Any questions, fair game. You can direct the conversation. You've heard me direct it for 2 hours. I got a nice text from somebody saying thanks for the stimulating conversation. You're welcome. Glad you enjoyed it. Let's go right to the phone lines. And you can join us, of course, always. Doesn't have to be just ask Steve anything. For any part of the program or any show on WTMJ, at the old National Bank Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Guy from Brookfield, welcome to the show. Guy, what is your question?
All right. Who would you rather live under his rule, Donald J. Trump or George Soros?
Man.
And you can't use the third option, neither. You can't say neither. Who would you rather live under his laws in administration, Donald J. Trump's or George Soros? You got to pick one or the other.
Do you want me to talk about it or just pick somebody?
Yeah, pick somebody and say why.
Well, they're both bad choices. I wouldn't want to live under either one, but if I was going to pick somebody, I'd say Trump because I've already experienced what that's like. I have no idea what George Soros is going to be like or if he has any desire to be president, but they're bad choices. It's like picking, thanks for the call. It's like picking from these two choices. Would you rather be dropped off in a river full of alligators or dropped off in the middle of the ocean without a life vest? They both suck. So I don't want either one of them. And because you didn't necessarily ask for an explanation, I'm going to give you one anyway. And thanks for the call, man. I appreciate your first up, so good, well done you. One of the reasons we're in the situation we have with poor leadership, with few examples of the opposite, great leadership, is because we settle. We confine ourselves to these kind of choices. We had Donald Trump as president. I survived. Matter of fact, I made more money after he was president than I did before. So to me, just me, I didn't have a negative impact. Other than the fact that, you know, in a lot of cases, what he says sounds more like a stumbling moron than a president of the United States. So hopefully you can understand my position. But thanks for asking it. Here's a fun one, 414. Steve, will there be virtual baseball this year? Of course there will be. And producer Brandon is excited about the fact that he's going to lead that effort off, creating great intros and fun highlights. And, you know, combined with my witty repartee, it's going to be fun. That starts in, what, 2 weeks, I think. Virtual baseball. Matter of fact, I think there's a production meeting on that very topic next week. So, yes, stay tuned. I think it's going to be, don't quote me, Fridays at 10:35. But, again, that's my guess at this moment. All right, let's go back to the text line, Old National Bank talking text line. And you can join us for Ask Steve Anything, any question, fair game. Steve, why do we have an employment or hiring issue and not a wage issue? All these businesses that are crying about lack of qualified candidates seem to be the last ones to understand the basics of supply and demand. They also seem to be the ones that cry about welfare for people that support corporate handouts, i.e. handout to Silicon Valley Bank. Fair question. I would argue that on their own, without a government mandate, many businesses have on their own increased their wages. It's not a day goes by that somebody doesn't text a picture of a McDonald's in our state where the starting wage is like $17 an hour. And to that I say, are you kidding me? Entry-level job, $17 an hour? So don't make the assumption that employees aren't doing that. Now, because I can walk and chew gum at the same time, think two things, very different things at the same time. You want to talk about something like CEO pay? Yeah, it's crazy. It's out of line. It's shameful what's being done on behalf of CEOs in comparison to what their employees are making when, let's be honest, the grunt work is often how the bread gets buttered. Not because some CEO with a fancy suit and a nice car are making some all-encompassing decision. Does it mean I don't take CEOs care, don't respect them? No, of course I do. I have them on the show all the time. Back to the phone lines. Steve from Oak Creek, my favorite city and my favorite first name. You're up.
Yes, it's the other Steve from Oak Creek.
Yeah,
my
right.
Question is, which route do you take downtown now? Do you take the lakefront and the home bridge, or do you take the 94 to get downtown to your offices?
I take both. I mix it up. I don't like doing the same thing every day. Are you a sniper? Are you going to look for me? On one of my routes? I'm just joking there, Steve.
Why we always prefer the lakefront.
You prefer the lakefront?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, since it's asked Steve anything, but I'm going to ask you a question. You take 794, I'm assuming, right?
Right.
All right, so if they extended 794 into Oak Creek, would you take it, would you jump on earlier?
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's pretty convenient already as it is.
It is. On Layton Avenue, you can jump on fairly easily or off of, Pennsylvania. Thanks for the call, Steve from Oak Creek. Curly from Germantown. Wonderful city of Germantown. Hey, Curly.
Hi, how you doing? I was just wondering what your drink of choice is when you're at the gaming tables in Las Vegas.
That's a great question. So it depends on time of day, Curly. So are you a Vegas fan?
Been out there a couple of years ago. My sister had a 60th birthday party out there.
I love
invited all her siblings.
That's fun. I love the city, as you know, because I go about 3 or 4 times a year. So in the mornings, when I'm playing a morning session of blackjack, it's usually quieter and not so crazy. I'll have a Bailey's and coffee or two as I'm playing. And that could be anywhere from like 7 a.m. to like 9 o'clock start, play a couple hours. So that's the morning drink. Afternoon, I'm going to go with something probably like Tanqueray and tonic, maybe a Tito's and tonic. And then in the evening, I might do something different, like Negroni, which is an Italian cocktail. Might have a glass of wine. It's different on day part. I like to mix it up a little bit. How's that sound?
And what do you what do you normally tip your hostess?
Always at least a buck and often $5 if I'm winning. Yeah, thanks for the call, Curly. Yeah, I'm generous if I'm winning and they're generous with my winnings. Absolutely. This is not what he asked, but I'm a huge fan of tipping. Because, one, you almost always get better service. And if you're talking about Vegas and cocktail waiters or waitresses, mainly waitresses, but not exclusive, you're going to get drinks when you want them versus when they want to give them to you. And if, I don't know if you've been to Vegas lately. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. That's an expensive piece of their budget. You know, air quoting free drinks. But, you know, if you're someone that plays a lot of blackjack or any table game or even slot machines, because they also cycle around those places as well, you know, you could have, I don't know, 8 to 10 drinks in the course of a day, probably. Not out of question. You're on vacation. You're not driving anywhere. So it's a bottom line. There has been conversations. One thing I have done over the years is talk to a lot of dealers, mainly blackjack dealers, but not only blackjack dealers. And they all said this. There may be a point in time where that giveaway goes away. Now, they may treat some of their card-carrying members like, I think it's MGM Rewards, whatever the program is. I can't remember off the top of my head. Where they may get free drinks, but someone just walks up to a table, may not. And here's a quick bit of Vegas advice. If you're a guy that comes up to a bar and orders like 4 drinks, you realize if you sat down and played quarters video poker and played max, which is $1.25 usually, 5 quarters, for 10 minutes, you can get one or more drinks for free as long as you sit there. So, I mean, that's your negotiation, but I almost always choose free or a small investment in gaming versus paying $40 or more for 4 drinks, but that's just me. We'll take a break. 855-616-1620. That is the Old National Bank talking text line. Got a ton of questions on the Old National Bank talking text line. The segment is called That's... No. See, I went to Thursday. I keep doing that. Not That's What Steve Said. That's tomorrow with a wonderful prize from Mine Shaft Restaurant. No, this is Ask Steve Anything. Any question, fair game. You ask the question. I do my best to answer. Questions are flying on Ask Steve Anything on this Thursday. Oh, my goodness. I'm racing towards the week. I don't know why, because I have nothing planned this weekend, but it's a Wednesday, of course. Hump day, as they say. Steve, are you ever going to have a segment of Ask Carol Anything? Well, Carol's with me on Monday, so should I carve out a half hour for Ask Carol Anything? That'd be kind of interesting, because you could ask questions of Carol, and then I could respond to them. We might actually, I think she's listening this morning. So, Carol, what do you think about the idea? Text me and let me know. Maybe before the hour's over, we'll have an announcement from Carol and me that we'll actually do that. Because we listen to our listeners. A couple more from the text line. Then I've got Patty. Another call from Oak Creek. I've got the Oak Creek market captured, which is good. How do you get to drive different vehicles from Heiser? Well, part of the great program that I have with Heiser is I drive their vehicles and talk about it. So all the great brands, I mean, Chevy, Cadillac, Toyota, Ford, Lincoln. Man, it's like a potpourri of possibilities. It's like a parade of vehicles. A lot of P's there. Alliteration is what it's called. I enjoy that. Obviously, I've done it for 4 years now. You know, the cool thing about it is I get to see what these vehicles are like in a way that most people, other than a test drive, you're not going to experience. You learn the technologies. They're all different in all the brands, right? You learn, for example, this beautiful Explorer 2022, Explorer ST that I have. The rear seats, the ones in the way back, typically I have them down. I didn't know this till I needed the extra seats for the Springsteen concert. You press a button and the seats go up. That's the first vehicle that I've had that. I love that idea. That's because I'm learning about the vehicles. Now, the challenge, of course, is, and I'm not complaining because I love Heiser and I love working with Marianne and all her great staff there. It is challenging technology-wise because the technologies are different in all the vehicles. So you sort of have to relearn things when you get the new vehicle, which actually is coming up pretty soon. I've had the Explorer for most of the winter. All right. We mentioned her name. Now let's get around. Patty calls us. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Steve. Good morning. Happy hump day. Happy hump day. Here's a question. I'm going to throw this out to Carol, too, if she's listening. She can answer on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have a beach house or a lake house?
Beach? Okay, so you mean like beach, like an ocean?
Yep, like an ocean, like a beach house, Steve. Or like you could have a house, you know, like
on a
retirement
lake.
House or whatever, close yeah. a house. A beach house right on the ocean, wherever, or a lake house right on a lake.
All right, so I would
choose... with a slip and everything.
I would choose beach because I like boats, but I'm not going to buy a boat, so that's one thing. And I love walking beaches, and if you're on an ocean, the beaches are extensive and long, and you can walk or run as far as you want to. But the answer is more nuanced. I will never probably own a second property because I don't want to. I like the freedom of going where I want to go versus having to go to this lake house. I know people love those, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just not me. I don't want to be responsible for another property.
Right, but the thing is, too, Steve, is you can have, you know, the family go there, people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can have that house for them.
Yes, you can be generous. You can be generous with your property or properties. Which one would...
And then I could go there, too. There.
is that the angle you were working on, Patty? I see what you're doing. I get it. Thanks for the call, Patty, from Oak Creek. I think she was angling for something there. Let's see. One of our loyal listeners, James from the South Side. Hi, James.
Yeah. Steve, while you were... being mayor of the city of Oak Creek there, did you get a chance to meet the sitting president at the time or any other former presidents in that in your travels in that?
Yeah, thanks for the question, James. So because of the mass shooting in Oak Creek, I met the president at the time, Barack Obama, at least a dozen times, maybe more than that. At the same time, I met the current president, then vice president, Joe Biden, an equal number of times, maybe more as well. Because he used to invite me on some of his things that he did on gun violence and the like. I've also met, this is kind of a crazy story. It was the first time that Whistling Straits hosted the PGA. I don't know the year. Someone will tell me on the text line. 855-616-1620, Old National Bank. I met Donald Trump. He was actually attending the event. This is well before running for president, although maybe he was thinking about it then. And I said hi. He said hi. He had massive bodyguards around him. And we were wandering around. I was standing. He was wandering around the practice green at Whistling Straits. So I met him. I think I met one of the Bush Jr. Mm-hmm. That's George W. Bush, I believe. What was the event? I forgot the event. But so I've met at least four. I think that's the right number. I never met Clinton. Yeah, that would be it. I think four is the right number. Let's see. Let's go to the text line. Let's see. Oh, is Marianne Scafidi from Heiser a family member? No, we're not related, other than the fact that we are just both Sicilian-American. And because of that ethnicity, ancestry, we come from the same island, the beautiful island of Sicily. I just wrote a thing for one of our fans. Pippa was her name. Hopefully she read that. I gave her a long list of things about Italy and Sicily that I loved. And the island of Sicily is absolutely amazing. It is stunning, breathtaking, not that expensive unless you're going to the expensive resort where they filmed White Lotus. It's I don't want to say cheap, but it's affordable. And the views are spectacular. So if you get a deal on like a B&B or something or a hotel that's not one of the more expensive ones, incredible vistas, great time, and there's enough history on that island that you couldn't see everything in a week. How's that sound? All right, we'll take a break. We're going to spin this around the news at the bottom, and I see Kathy's on the phone. We got tons of text questions as well. Ask Steve anything on the Wednesday edition right here in WTMJ. More often than not, it's me talking to you and delivering segment after segment, smart take after smart take, but this is your opportunity to ask the question, to lead the conversations, and I said I would get to it. I'm delivering on that promise. Kathy joins us from Waukesha. Welcome to the show, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi. My question to you is, right now, are you reading a book?
Yes.
If so, what is the book, and overall, who is your favorite author?
Big fan of Malcolm Gladwell, if you've heard of him. His books are small, but right now I'm reading a book by archaeologist Marianne Okota, O-C-H-O-T-A. It's called Secret Britain, Unearthing Our Mysterious Past. As you know, if you're a loyal listener, you know that I've been traveling a lot, and I love archaeology.
Yeah.
So I often read books about archaeology. Now, you didn't ask this, Kathy, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you would have asked me what's my favorite book of all time, It's a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel, written by Jared Diamond. It's a 1998 Pulitzer Prize winner, and I try to read as many of the Pulitzer Prize nonfiction books as I can every year, because I think it gives you a perspective that maybe you didn't have before. That book kind of explains why the world is the way it is, using geography and what allowed some civilizations, some cities and communities to develop while others didn't. It's a fascinating book, but I tell you, it's about 3 inches thick. But it's a great read. It's absolutely, absolutely brilliant. So if you have a lot of time and you want to learn about the world we live in, it's a great thing. What do you like to read? Who's your favorite author?
Well, I'm leaning towards Colleen Hoover right now. She writes in series, mm-hmm. but what I'm reading right now is The Ways We Hide. And it's very interesting. It's a true book about someone who was the brains of a magician show,
mm-hmm.
and she was drafted by the military in World War II to literally show troops how to hide in plain sight and help develop all these little helpful things
wow.
they could carry with them that could never be discovered. And she also wrote Sold on a Monday, which is a true story about during World War II, people could not afford their children, and they would literally clean them up, dress them up, put them out on the street or on the edge of their property with their little suitcase,
wow.
and it would say for sale. And it was true. People, if they wanted them, they could just buy them because the family couldn't afford them.
Who was the author again, Kathy?
So, the author is Christina McMorris.
Wow, interesting subjects. Thanks for the call, Kathy. I like to read. My problem is, just like the book that I was talking about, Secret Britain, Unearthing Our Mysterious Past, I start reading one book and then I'll start reading something else. And I generally read nonfiction, but every once in a while, fiction interests me and I will do that. So I'm always looking for book tips. I mean, generally, having an author on is not great radio, but I'm fascinated by people who write for a living and produce some of these great works. And I'm not kidding about Guns, Germs, and Steel. It's a fascinating look at the world we live in, and it plays just as well now as it did in 1998. And Jared Diamond was a professor of geography, I think, at either UCLA or USC. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's an amazing book. But I'm not kidding. It's like 3 inches thick. And it's one of the prized books in my library at home because I've probably read it 3 times. You know, some of the biographies are interesting, too, of presidents. I'm fascinated by that story as well. So lots of good things happening. All right. From the Old National Bank talking text line. Steve, you mentioned that you dropped cable and have a new provider. What did you switch to and how do you like it? So I switched from UVerse to YouTube TV. My bill on the TV side went from $154 to about, well, it was $54.99. I think they just raised it, 60-something. I like it better than UVerse. The technology is obviously wireless, so all those boxes I used to have, those are all gone. I have more channels. Let me rephrase that. I have more channels that I'm interested in versus what passes for a lineup of channels on, like, the Spectrums and the UVerses of the world, which are filled with, like, home shopping channels and channels devoted to one product, like cooking items or jewelry. I can just avoid all that stuff now. I just have, like, 20 core channels that I watch. It's amazing. And on the phone side, I went from UVerse Wi-Fi to T-Mobile. And again, from a lot money to, I think we pay about 30 or 40 bucks a month. And here's the dirty little secret. It's way faster. All right. When do you start prepping for gardening? Have you ever gardened in 5-gallon pails? Yes to the second one. I used to have a small place in Cudahy. That's all I did. I had container gardening that I built out of wood, usually cedar. But the trick with that is you can't make them too small. They have to be large. So I would build planters like 1 foot deep by 4 feet long and then plant like climbing beans or cucumbers that climb and had great success. The problem that most people have when they try to grow things in containers is the container's too small, it dries out, the watering, the moisture's inconsistent, and that's not good for growing. The bigger, the better. Your pot really can't be too big, even if you have one tomato plant. What difference does it make? It's just dirt. Also, another quick gardening tip. If you have containers, change out the dirt. If not every year, every 2 years. And certainly, you want to have good results, use some of those great products that enhance. It's not just dirt. It's, you know, Miracle Grow type products, because you'll have a better result. And there's all kinds of tricks of the trade, but I don't want to get too far down the gardening thing. Although somebody mentioned this to me yesterday. We should have a gardening sponsor on the show. How has that not happened? Given my MO. Oh, this is funny. See, someone's trying to be funny with this one. Have you started using the senior tees when you golf? Not yet, wise guy or girl. Not yet. Now, I don't go to the championship or the blue tees. I play the whites like a normal person, but no. In the league I'm in, if you go to the senior tees, you would be ridiculed, especially on my team with Donnie and John and Ken. They would not allow that. Matter of fact, somebody in our league did that for a while, and it was not well received. We'll take a break. Ask Steve Anything is our current topic. You lead the conversation. I do my best to answer more of your questions after this. You're asking the questions. I'm trying to answer them. Ask Steve Anything. I thought it was interesting. I was talking about Jared Diamond, my favorite book of all time, Guns, Germs, and Steel, 1998, winner of the Pulitzer Prize, nonfiction. And one of the texters from the 2 said, I just downloaded it to my library. I look forward to reading it on long drives. They said, I hadn't thought about that. I haven't read it in probably 5 years because it's such a long read, but it's really interesting. And simply put, it's looking at how the world and its civilizations developed, why some civilizations were far more advanced and others really didn't advance. And to make it as simple as possible, the reasons Jared Diamond put forward, a professor of geography, was guns, germs, and the development of steel. And it's a simple concept, but and the way he tells the story is fascinating and amazing. So I just told the texter, after the listen, let me know how that was, because I haven't done a lot of audiobooks, but it's something I've been thinking about, because I think I would be able to consume more on the reading side, in this case listening, than I do now, because I don't have the complaint that I don't have time, but there's a lot of things that I wish I could do that I don't have time for, that we all face that. Let's see. Would you ever go to a Taylor Swift concert? Sure. I was at a Lady Gaga concert. Now, the Lady Gaga I saw, I think I told the story. Free tickets, Summerfest, a few years ago. Shows up late, does like an hour. It was basically the highly packaged version of Lady Gaga. If it would have been Lady Gaga at a piano singing, I probably would have been blown away because she's an incredible artist. But all the other nonsense, the dancers, I don't need. I'd go to a Taylor Swift concert. I don't know that I'm going to get that kind of a concert. But if somebody said they had free tickets, I mean, I've been to a lot of concerts. Somebody gave me free tickets or offered a ticket, and I've gone, and I've actually enjoyed most of them. But if I pay for a ticket, you can be pretty confident that I actually enjoy the artist. Let's see. Am I the only one nauseated every time Trump's name and indictment always include former president in the same sentence? Why should that matter? I think it's just the proper way to say it. Shouldn't we say former president? I guess that would be my question. The interesting thing about titles like that, political titles especially, you don't lose the title. For example, when he's been on the show, I've called Paul Ryan Speaker Paul Ryan because he was Speaker of the House. Governor Scott Walker, when he's been on the show, I've kept that title. So I don't think you lose that. Matter of fact, there's people that still call me mayor when I see him. So, I mean, you don't really lose that. I don't think there's any disrespect in the use of the word former. It's just an accurate description. We try to be clear on what we say. Regular hot dogs or chili hot dogs? Chili dogs. I like chili. Matter of fact, I had at lunch yesterday. I had lunch with John McCure, and I had chili. Want to know what John had? Nachos. And they looked really good. I had a bowl of chili with onions, no cheese. So I would choose regular hot dogs. I don't necessarily want to combine chili and the dog because it becomes more about the chili than the hot dog. I mean, we have Ashton, one of the producers here at Good Karma Brands, has his own hot dog truck, basically sausage truck. What's it called? Rot's Hots, right? Yeah, that you'll see out and about. I have never seen it, nor have I tasted one of his hot dogs, but everybody that's had said it's absolutely amazing. So I'm going to put that on my list of things to do. Let's see. Listening to you from Vegas. Hey, thanks for the long distance listen. Windy, cold, sunny here, but I'm Wisconsin tough. Here for an extended time helping out. Well, congrats. Enjoy Vegas. My wife's in Vegas right now with her sister and brother-in-law, so she's enjoying the gambling side, but not the weather. She was hoping for pool weather. They're not getting that. They're not getting the pool weather out there. But I do miss, I'm going in July, I think, and then in October. So I've got a couple trips coming. Here's a good one, 414 on Ask Steve Anything on WTMJ. What would you say to your teenage self as a word of advice or bestowing knowledge? Here's an easy one. You're not as smart as you think you are. If you start something, finish it. Women are generally going to be smarter than you. You should probably respect that fact. Be nicer. What else could I put in there? Save your money. Yeah, kids are expensive. I think that's like the basic ones, right? Those are some big... You know, there's always been this question, like, if you could go back knowing now what you know now going back then, you know, would you do it? No, you enjoy your life. One of the fun things about life is that you experience these things not from the perspective of an old man or an old woman. You experience these things from the perspective of a highly emotional, underinformed, often wrong, young adult or kid. And that's part of the fun. You make the mistakes which make you smarter down the road. Makes sense? I think it does. You learn from mistakes. One of the biggest problems, here I am going to lecture you now, one of the biggest problems with parenting now is that parents don't let their kids make mistakes. Helicopter parents, in the worst sense, igloo parents or bubble parents, where they don't let their kid experience anything that they don't have their stamp of approval on. Sometimes you just got to let kids be kids. Let them get out there and experience all the fun stuff. That's the cool part about it. That's what's the magic of growing up. Let's see. A lot of people listening from other places. I appreciate the long distance listens. What would you say? Got that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm just peeling through these things. Have you ever smoked? Well, I smoked weed in high school. Does that count? To be brutally honest, and I did inhale. Cigarettes, never my thing. I do smoke cigars more in the warm months than the winter months because I would never smoke them in the house. And I have to go outside. And as we know, in Wisconsin, the winter's a little chilly.
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Oh, he seized on that opportunity. I handed it to you on a tee. I'm not a senior tee, by the way. We got one more here before the break. Yes. Do you think Cavalier Johnson could end up like Lori Lightfoot if crime keeps rising in Milwaukee? No, for this reason, I think Cavalier Chevy Johnson is much smarter than Lori Lightfoot is. Lori Lightfoot's, I'm trying to be nice, had no clue. I don't know a lot about her background, but she had no clue in what it took to run a city, other than trying to promote, I don't want to overuse the word woke, but woke ideas, you know, trying to reform versus lead. You get yourself in trouble. We get ourselves in trouble when we do more of that stuff. Do your job first. You know, don't try to perform social justice from the position of mayor / governor / senator. Don't have individual goals. It's team goals. What's best for the country? That's what matters. So that's my advice. So you want to be a good leader? Understand you represent everybody that lives in your district or your community, not just the ones that voted for you. That's step one. Two, listen to what they say. Process that information and not be afraid of telling them, you know what, I heard you, but you're wrong. We don't have enough brave leaders like that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll see what Jeff Wagner's got on his plates after this on WTMJ. One last question on Ask Steve Anything before we hand it off to Jeff. Do you think that shrinkflation of the meals at restaurants will start to be an antidote for the obesity problem? Yeah, maybe. We get far too much food. We go to a restaurant a couple times a week, different restaurants. We take half of it home. And that would be my advice. You don't have to eat as much either. But I'm sure that's part of the answer, and maybe restaurants can save some cash on their bottom line by not stacking a plate with 3 pounds of pasta. Just my thoughts, and trust me, I love pasta. All right, Jeff Wagner's up next. What is on your plates for today, Jeff?
Thanks, Steve. Lots of stuff coming up. The only debate between the two candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court was yesterday. We're going to talk about that race because in less than 2 weeks, Wisconsin voters will go to the polls. Matter of fact, people are already voting now. The Trump campaign is preparing for the new normal. That's running under an indictment. Running under an indictment. Is this really going to be a good thing? We talk about free breakfast in schools. We talk about free lunches in schools. What about public high schools handing out free condoms to anyone who asks? That's on our discussion. The Federal Reserve is going to announce about 1 o'clock today whether or not they're going to raise interest rates. The Fed also says that they're pretty much committed to bailing out banks moving forward. Is that really a good idea? Tony Evers, the legislative Democrats, they want abortion on demand. Republicans say no. What is our way of getting out of this? And we're going to talk about the 15-year-old who was murdered the other night, what that means moving forward. And we start with a story that just highlights the old adage, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's all coming up, and it starts right after the top of the hour news.